Session 7.
Text says first, Kunjungi Nimi Rikshan Ram Nyama Pakme Namge Magen Namge Tende Ningo Chanju Jundum Kelsangi Kilwa Baki Teba Chandu Sanjanji Bajanji. So first, it says, Pakma means extrapolating from your own condition. Okay. Like, you can't really tell what other people are feeling, but based on what you feel yourself and what's happening to you yourself, you can guess that other people have just as many problems in their life as you do, and many people have more. And for me, I don't know about you, but it's the constant up and down. You know, like things look like they're going all right for a while, and then they change again. And then you think you find something that makes you happy, and then it changes again. And then you keep trying different adjustments, you know, like you adjust your food, or you adjust your apartment, or you adjust your friends, or you adjust your activities, or you adjust your job. And you keep thinking that one more adjustment might do it, you know. And every time you make an adjustment, you're a little bit older. And you just keep getting older and older, and when you, pretty soon it becomes obvious that the adjustments don't work. I don't know, somehow we still hope, and we keep making adjustments, and we keep thinking that, you know, if I just had a little more money, or if I just had a little more exercise, if I just ate a little bit differently, or, you know, stuff like that. And you keep trying to adjust different things, and after, I don't know, about 3 decades or so, it becomes obvious that these aren't working, you know. And each new thing you hope for, and the same thing happens again. And it doesn't seem to be adjustable in a normal way. And it doesn't seem to matter what kind of adjustments you make. Things don't change much from when you were much younger. And then you have to assume that all other people are in the same condition. And, you know, I always think of walking down Fifth Avenue and, I don't know, it's around the 40s. And when you look uptown, it goes up to Central Park. And so you can see all these people's heads coming down Fifth Avenue. And there's thousands of them. And the heads are moving up and down. And you can't see anything else except the heads. And then I think about what's going on in each head. And I look at each face, and there's this thing. I used to work in the 40s. Then I worked in the Village. And the faces were slightly different. But then recently I've been going back to the Diamond District and looking in the 40s, you know. And especially in the 40s, you know, there's this look. Especially among the diamond dealers and stuff. And it's like this worried look, you know, like, are they going to pay or not? And there's this look on the faces that's really bad. And then I try to see if anyone looks happy, you know, and if there's anybody who looks like they're having a good time. These are people that I worked with and people that I know well. I walk down the street, I know 10 people, and then it just looks different to me nowadays, and everybody looks sad, and everybody looks tired, and everybody's hair is a little grayer, and they're just, they seem distracted by something, and then it occurs to me that nobody's having a good time there. And then you have to imagine that there are millions of streets like that around the world. And you have to picture that when you take these vows. When you take these vows, you have to think about your own situation and then multiply it times 3 billion. And that's the amount of pain going on in the world. And it just has to make you feel bad. Maybe you could do something about it. You know. I said yesterday, and it's true, this realm is a mistake. What you see and what you're experiencing is an anomaly. It doesn't have to happen this way. This is some kind of error. And we're living in this realm because of something, mistake we made. I mean, mistake in perception, actually. And it's that number two. It's that meditation number two. We really believe that the things around us are coming from their own side, and you don't really believe that they are happening because of what you did and what you said, and you don't really believe that your mind is making you see all these things, and you don't really believe that if you changed your activities and your mind and your speech, that all those things would change and all that reality would change, and you wouldn't, you know, moving to another realm is not you don't get into a prefabricated machine and go to a different realm. You know, it's not like that. This realm slowly changes, and then you're in a different realm. And it changes because you're purifying your mind. And then you're gone out of that realm. And that realm doesn't exist anymore for you. And we just have to do that. We have to move from there, here to there. And then the reason to take these vows, there are these vows in the Pratimoksha vows, one-day vows, that are very similar to these vows. But there's a big, one of the big differences is that if, as you go through this ceremony this morning, you have to think about other people, and you have to use logic. You know, you can't tell directly if other people are having the same kind of hard time as we are, but logically you can assume that they are. If they're in this realm walking around showing those faces on 47th Street, they're probably just as hard off as we are. And then you have to try to take these vows to help them. If you take these vows, and if you keep them, and if you get in the habit of keeping them, your reality will change. Because things are empty. Right? Because the world is empty, because emptiness is the world. And then after your life changes and after your world changes, you can help other people in a real way. You know, right now you can give them food, or you can give them a place to stay, or you can give them some kind of comfort when they're in trouble, but you can't really stop their suffering right now, because we don't know how. And you can describe it roughly to them, but since we haven't done it ourselves, it's not very persuasive. And the idea is to take these vows, keep them, reach your goal, and then help other people do it. Okay, so keep that in mind while you take the vow. Then recite these words after me. You don't have to get into vow-taking position yet. Okay? This is pretty torturous. But this is taking refuge and thinking about Bodhisattva. Okay, so please repeat. Ready? Sangye Chirdang. Sokchola, Chanju Padu, Kyapsuchi, Dakdang Shenden, Dubledu, Daki Changju, Semketo, Chokchu Dharma, Shupahi, Sangye Changju, Sembasun, Daki Dzogbe, Changju Chir, Tengne Changju, Semketo. That's one round. It says, until the day I become enlightened, I take refuge in the idea of the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, which is everything I just spoke about. For the sake of myself and others, long-term sake, I will try to think like a bodhisattva. And you know what's coming next. And then I ask the Buddhas and the bodhisattvas of the 10 directions to listen to me. In order to achieve enlightenment, I'll start to think like a Buddha, a Bodhisattva, and I'll start to act like a Bodhisattva. And that's just a commitment. Okay? One more time. Two more times, actually. Sangye Chodang.
Sangye Chodang.
Sochola.
Sochola.
Chanju Padu.
Chanju Padu.
Gyapsuchi.
Gyapsuchi.
Dartan Shendu.
Dartan Shendu.
Dubledu.
Dubledu.
Daki Changju.
Daki Changju.
Semketo.
Semketo.
Chokchu Dana.
Chokchu Dana.
Shupai.
Shupai.
Sangye Changju.
Sangye
Changju. Sembasun.
Sembasun.
Daki Dzogbe.
Daki Dzogbe.
Changju Chir.
Changju Chir.
Hengne Changju.
Hengne Changju.
Semketo.
Semketo.
Okay, one more round, and try to think about the people in New York. It's easy. You know, big bunch of stressed out looking people. Okay. Sangye Chodang.
Sangye Chodang.
Sochola.
Sochola.
Chanju Padu.
Chanju Padu.
Kyapsuchi.
Kyapsuchi.
Data Shendu.
Data Shendu.
Dubledu.
Dubledu.
Daki Changju.
Daki Changju.
Semketo.
Semketo.
Chokchu Dharma.
Chokchu
Dharma. Shupai.
Shupai.
Sangye Changju.
Sangye
Changju. Sembasun.
Sembasun.
Daki Dzogbe.
Daki Dzogbe.
Chanju Chir.
Chanju Chir.
Tengne Changju.
Tengne
Changju. Semketo. Next part of the ritual is to bless the place and to bless the offerings that we've made. Okay. In the monastery, we often get up early and do one of these ceremonies. And the sun is coming up in India, and our temple is too small. It's not like Sarah Day's. And maybe someday we can build a bigger one. But very, very crowded. Normally, like, it's called a sumdel. You're supposed to have one row at a time. Nidel means you don't have room, so you pack another line on top of the first line. It's like somebody's rear end is on your knee. You know? Sumdel means it's packed triple. And that's how Sarame's temple is right now. So they just actually sit three people in one person's space. And then you have these robes on. And then each person's body makes so many BTUs, and then the sun is beating down on the temple, and it's incredibly uncomfortable. And you're just pouring sweat off you, and you can't move, and your legs are getting crushed, and it's really hard to concentrate. And it seems like all Buddhist rituals are supposed to be like that. So try to concentrate. You'll be hot, you'll be tired, you know. I don't know. This is like special torture. I don't know why they did this. I try to concentrate. Okay, it's very hard. And I try to concentrate on the meaning of it. And not, you know, they say when you take a vow, imagine that you're in the room alone with the Buddha, you know. And so you can pretend that the person up there is the Buddha. And then you imagine that there's nobody else in the room. And you're swearing something by yourself. Okay, and it's a lot more powerful if you think of it that way. Okay? Okay, this is a ceremony where you turn this place into a beautiful, beautiful crystal palace. And the ground is made of precious gems. Lapis lazuli, actually. With lots of pyrite, okay? And then everything around you is beautiful and clean. And the people around you are bodhisattvas. And those people up there are all Buddhas. And you're going to take a vow in a place like that. And you put out these incredible offering things, and then you multiply them in your mind by a zillion, and they're covering the whole sky. And that's the conditions under which you take this vow. So don't think you're in God's doll with all the lime sticks and stuff, okay? It's someplace special and something special, all right? And just in your mind, change the place and imagine that you're by yourself and they've let you come into this palace, and there's all this host of high beings, and you're about to take a vow before them. Okay? So we're going to change the place into that. Ready? Tamje Duni. Sashi Da. Sekma Laso. Mepa Da. Laktil Tanyam. Bindam Yi. Rangshin Jambo. Negyo Chi. Fadam Mi. Chipidze. Musu Shamda. Yigitru. Kunsan Chujin. Laname. Nante Kamkun. Kapyochi. Now we say a special mantra, and it turns the place into that. Okay, ready? Om Namo. Bhagavate. Vajrasara. Pramadame. Tathagataya. Arahate. Samyak Sambuddhaya. Tadyata. Ambhadra Vajra. Mahavajre. Mahateja Vajre. Mahabidya Vajre. Mahabodhicitta Vajre. Mahabodhi. Mandapam. Sankramana. Vajre. Salakama. Avalanam. Vishuddhana. Vajra Soha. Konjo Sungi. Dambadam. Sangyadam. Chambir Sema. Hamchenki. Vilata. Sogni. Yosu Dope. Napan Chambadam. Chuki Yin. Dambhar Dakchin. Samgini Kyabe. Topki. Deshin Yidu. Kyoti. That's called a Dembe To, meaning an act of truth. And they say if a high being stands at the edge of the Ganges River and speaks truly, speaks the truth, and says, if it's true, I haven't ever had a bad thought in my life. May the Ganges River flow uphill. It'll, like the Mississippi, it will turn around and flow backwards, okay? And that's called an act of truth. So These words are very beautiful. They say, if it's true that everything in this room is empty, then may it all become this crystal palace, and may all these offerings multiply and cover the whole sky. If it's true that everything in this room is empty. So that's automatically true, and it's all finished, and all the offerings are all over the sky. Okay. This is where you actually try to picture that you're taking the bow in front of all the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas. Okay, so when you say the next words, imagine that you've invited them. Because their nature is mostly mental, they can come here in an instant. In fact, they knew about a million years ago you were going to ask, so they're all ready. They combed their hair and everything. Okay, and so say this verse and then imagine that they're here. Okay. Maybe you can't see them now, maybe you can. But they come. Okay? Here we go. Malu Senchen.
Malu Senchen.
Kungi.
Kungi.
Gungyo Ching.
Gungyo Ching.
Dude Pungche.
Dude Pungche.
Mise.
Mise.
Jomze Pa.
Jomze Pa.
Munan Malu.
Munan Malu.
Yanda Kim Yote.
Yanda Kim Yote.
Jomden Korche.
Jomden Korche.
Nendir.
Nendir.
Sheksusun.
Sheksusun.
The next part is the seven-part preparation. We do it every time we meditate. Every time we meditate, I take you through it. Every time you do Gandhan Hagyama, you go through it. So this is a very short verse to accomplish the same thing, right? Gosum Gupe. Gone. Chaktalo. Mushan Yudhu. Chirtin Mali. Bu. Tome Mesak. Dukun Tamje Shak. Kepa Kewa. Namla Jeyura. Korwa Matong. Hardu. Lekshugne. Dola Chuki. Kolo. Korwa Dan. Dakshin Gena. Chandu Chembo.
No.
Okay, now I took my vows already this morning, and we'll start the actual ceremony for taking the vows. So it's a custom. You visualize that I'm a Buddha, and I'm to make it easier, I put Tara here, right? So you know, you can imagine her sitting there, and you can bow to her. So you have to make three prostrations now. And imagine that there's an enlightened being sitting here. Right? Now you take the taking a vow position. If it's comfortable for you, you can kneel with your right knee on the ground. Okay. If it's more comfortable, you can do the chicken gesture, as Rinpoche says, which is like squatting. Okay. If neither one is comfortable, or if in the next few minutes you start to concentrate on your knee and not on the vows, then for goodness sake, sit down. All right? And don't let it ruin your vow taking, okay? So it's not the point is to be a tough guy. It's the point is to concentrate on the vows. So if you don't feel comfortable, just sit down, okay? If you can stay up on your knee, it's great. Or you can squat. It's the same thing, all right. But if you start to think about your knee or you start to go like that, just sit down, okay? All right. Concentrate on the vow and not on your knees, all right. And concentrate on all the people in New York and try to think of at least a few people specifically that are suffering who you know, okay? And dedicate it to them. This is a mudra for taking vows, okay? Put your right hand in your left hand and you close it like that. And you put it at your heart. Okay. Keep that motivation and we'll repeat this three times. Okay, this is the words of taking the vow. Please repeat after me, okay? Chokchuna.
Chokchuna.
Shupe. Sangedang. Chanju Semba. Tamche. Dagla. Gongsusu. Chitangungi. Deshin Shepa. Dachomba. Yandapa Zope. Sangye. Tachang Shetabu. Mambo Chembo. Chawa Cheshin. Chepa Chepa. Kurporwa. Rangi Dun. Jesu Topa. Sipa Kundu. Jowa. Yonsu Sepa. Yandape Ka. Lepa number. Tuwe Tu. Lepa number. Tuwe. Shirab Jin. Deda Ki. Semjin Tamche Ki. Tungi Chir. Pembar Chawe. Chirdang. Tua Chawe. Chirdang. Mugi Mepa. Chawe Chir. Ne Mepa. Chawe Chirdang. Chanchubgi. Choki Chunam. Yosu Zopa. Chawe Chirdang. Lana Mepa. Yandapa. Zokpe. Changchub. Nepa Topa. Chawe Chir. Sojong Yandapa. Zepa. Deshindu. Dak. Now repeat your name. If you have a refuge name, use that. Repeat your name. Okay. Shegiwe. Kyang. Dun Dine. Sunte. Jisi Sangima. Masharki Padu. Semjin Tamche. Kidungi Chirdang. Pemba Chawe. Chirdang. Dua Chawe. Chirdang. Mugi Mepa. Chawe Chirdang. Ne Mepa. Chawe Chirdang. Chanchugi Chanam. Yosu Zopa. Chawe Chirdang. Lana Mepa. Yandapa. Zope. Changchub. Ngepa Topa. Chawe Chir. Sojong Yandapa. Lawa Kiyo. Okay, one more time. Actually, two more times. After the second time, I'll tell you what you're saying. Chokchuna. Shupe. Sangyedang. Chanju Semba. Tamjeda. Dala. Gosusu. Jitangungi. Deshin Shepa. Dachomba. Yandapa Zope. Sangye. Tachashe. Tabu. Mambo Chembo. Chawa Cheshin. Chepa Chepa. Kurporwa. Rangi Dun. Jesu Topa. Sipa Kundu. Jowa Yonsu. Sepa. Yandape Ka. Lepa Number. Duwe Tu. Lepa Number. Duwe. Sherab Jin. Deda Ki. Semjin Tamche Ki. Dungi Chir. Pembar. Chawe Chirdang. Jowa. Chawe Chirdang. Mugi Mepa. Chawe Chir. Ne Mepa. Chawe Chirdang. Chanchugi. Choki Chir. Nam. Yosu Zopa. Chawe Chirdang. Lana Mepa. Yandapa. Zope. Changchub. Ngepa Topa. Chawe Chir. Sojong Yandapa. Zepa Deshindu. Dot. Repeat your own name.
Shumakao.
Shegiwe. Kyang. Dun Dine. Sungte. Chisi Sangima. Mashaki Padu. Semjin Tamje. Dungi Chirdang. Pembar Chawe. Chirdang. Dowa Chawe. Chirdang. Mugi Mepa. chawe chirdan ne mepa chawe chirdan chanchu gi chenam yosu zopa chawe chirdan nana mepa yandapa zope chanchu ngepa topa chawe chir sojon yandapa lawa kiyo. Okay, I'll tell you roughly what you're saying, and then we'll do it the third time. May all the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas of the Ten Directions listen to my request. Just like the Buddhas of the past and the Bodhisattvas of the past, and there's a special horse that has special power, and they compare that to an arhat. Lambo chembo, chawa cheshin, chepa chepa. They have big capacity, like a great elephant or like a great horse, special mythical horses and elephants, okay, who can carry huge loads. That means the vehicular capacity is translated into Sanskrit as yana. And then they're big, so it's Mahayana, all right? Like those beings, chawa cheshin, chepa chepa, they performed the activities and they did what they had to do. That's a code word for an arhat, a person who has removed all their mental afflictions, okay? Kurporwa is also a code word for an arhat. They dumped their load, okay? Rangidun jesutopa, they were able to achieve their own goals. Sipakundu joyonsu sepa, they cut off the ties that kept them in this realm of suffering. Yandapeka lepa number duwe tuk, they speak true words. Their hearts are free. Nepa number two is Shirab Chen. Their minds are free. Dedala. Senjin Tamcheki Dungi Chir. They, for the sake of all beings, Pemba Jawe Chir, to help those beings. Dura Jawe Chir, to free those beings. Mugi Mepa Jawe Chir, to remove hunger from the world. You see, I used to work for the farm workers for years. We picketed and walked in front of supermarkets for years. And we were thinking it would help all the people in the world, and maybe it would stop all the hunger in the world and poor people and like that. And you see, if you do it this way, it really works. You know, you can have the same motivation, and you really could remove all the hunger in the world if each person in the world kept their vows, and if each person in the world developed compassion, then that really could work. And it's very satisfying to know that it really is possible. You know, during my 30s, I was doubting it. And then during my 40s, I'm like, yeah, you can do it. If you understand emptiness, you can do it. You can remove hunger from the world. It's possible. Mugi mepa chawichir, ne mepa chawichir, you can remove illness from the world. Chanchugi choki chunin yosu zopa chawichir, you can bring every being to perfect enlightenment. Lana mepa yandapa zopa chanchugi nepa zopa chawichir, you can bring them to perfect happiness. And for that purpose, those holy beings of the past took these vows. Dak Ming Di Shi Jiwi Kyang, and little old me, whose name is such and such, Du Dine Sung De, from this moment today, Jisi Sang Ni Ma Sharki Padu, until the sun comes up tomorrow morning, in order to, for the sake of other people, in order to help them, in order to free them, in order to stop hunger in the world, in order to stop sickness in the world, in order to bring all beings to perfect enlightenment, in order for that, I also will keep the vows. Okay, and that's what you're vowing to. All right, we'll go through it one more time. Starting to feel a little like Sarame Temple. At the end of it, I'll snap my fingers, okay? And you have to have what we call toblo. Toblo means you have to have a strong feeling that you just got the vows. And actually, according to Buddhism, something different has grown inside you. Like there's actually some physical thing has grown inside you. And you have to understand that. And you have to be happy. So the minute I snap my fingers, you have to see this, like this golden thing has grown inside of you. And you'll have it for the next 24 hours. And be happy, okay? When you hear that, see this golden thing inside of you and then be happy, okay? Okay, one more time. Chokchuna.
Chokchuna.
Shukpe.
Shukpe.
Sangye Dang.
Sangye Dang.
Chandu Semba.
Chandu Semba.
Tamje.
Dala.
Gonsusu.
Chitangungi.
Deshin Shepa.
Dachomba.
Yandapa.
Zope.
Sange.
Dachanshi.
Tabu.
Lambo
Chembo.
Chawa
Cheshi.
Chepa
Cheba.
Korporwa.
Rangiti.
Jesutopa.
Sipakundu.
Jorwa.
Yosu
Sepa.
Yandape
Ka.
Lepa
number.
Tuwe tu.
Lepa
number.
Tuwe.
Sherabje.
Tedaki.
Semjin Tamseki. Dungichu.
Pembar
Chawe.
Chidang.
Tuwa
Chawe.
Chidang.
Mugi
Mepa.
Chawe Chu.
Ne
Mepa.
Chawe
Chidang.
Chanchuki
Choki.
Chunam.
Yosu
Zopa.
Chawe
Chidang.
Lana
Mepa.
Yandapa.
Zope.
Chanchu.
Nyepar
Topa.
Chawe
Chu.
Sojong Yandapa.
Zepa.
Teshindu.
Dot.
Please repeat your own name.
Shegiwe.
Kyang.
Dun
Dine.
Sungte.
Jisi
Sangima.
Mashaki Pardu.
Semjin
Tamcheki.
Dungi
Chirdang.
Pembar
Chawe.
Chirdang.
Dowa
Chawe.
Chirdang.
Mugi
Mepa.
Chawe
Chirdang.
Ne
Mepa.
Chawe
Chirdang.
Chanchugi
Chunam.
Yosu
Zopa.
Chawe
Chirdang.
Lana
Mepa.
Yandapa.
Zope
Chanchu.
Nyapar
Topa.
Chawe
Chu.
Sojong
Yandapa.
Lawa Kyo.
Okay, have a seat, relax, okay? At this point, you actually recite the vows and say, I won't do this, and I won't do this, and I won't do this, okay? We only recite this once, and I'll go through it with you first, okay? It's like the fine print. Tengne Sochu Michashing. Today I will be very careful about not taking the life of any other being, okay? Not harming any other being physically. Shengin Noyan Langmija, I'll be very, very careful with the things that other people own. I won't steal, I won't in any way take what has not been given to me, okay? For us, frankly, it's little things, you know? You're not gonna kill anybody in this room today, probably. So you get it down to very fine things. You see what I mean? Like, if you see something that somebody might slip on, you know, if you're driving and the road is dangerous, you slow down and things like that. I mean, it's the attitude of respecting life and looking ahead and anything that might endanger another being. Something on the floor that you might move out of the way in case someone else might slip on, or some so small things like that. And when that becomes the level of your morality, your world starts to change. Okay, so it's not like you're okay if you don't murder anyone today. Okay, it's the exercise is to get very, very sensitive to anything that might endanger another being's life, and you start looking ahead and you start doing tiny, tiny little things. You know, don't give people food that would hurt them, or things like that. And as you get more and more fine with your morality, then your world starts to change. So your whole holy bodhisattva action that makes you enlightened that changes your reality might be moving a bag out of the way in the temple on a regular basis or something like that. It's not like you're going to be Superman and go save thousands of beings' lives or something. I mean, people think that, you know, all sentient beings, you have to go help 3 billion people at once or something. It's not like that. The level of morality that will make you enter a Buddha realm is accomplished by moving a bag out of the way on the floor that somebody might trip on, and by being that sensitive to your morality. Okay, you're not going to steal. I mean, you're not probably going to embezzle your company's funds. Okay, but you might make a phone call that you didn't pay for, or things like that. So long as you do so, you cannot enter the other realm. You see what I mean? Your sensitivity has to come down to the level of, uh-oh, whose pencil is this on my desk? You know, this wasn't here this morning. This is not my pencil. I have to find out whose pencil this is and get it back to them, you know. And it's not that there's some God up there, because there's not, who's going to punish you for taking a pencil. It's not the point. If you get your morality down to the point of making sure the pencil gets back to who owns it, that will cause you to enter a Buddha realm. And so for the sake of yourself and other people, find out whose the pencil is and get it back to them. Much less other kinds of stealing, okay? And doing that on a regular basis, happily, joyfully, purely, not thinking it's a big obligation or something like that, it shoves you into a Buddha realm, you know? And you can do it. But you have to get down to that level. So the point of taking vows today is for one day at least, be very sensitive to all these issues. And even on a little tiny basis, try to be very, very sensitive to what might hurt someone else or what might hurt someone else's property. Okay? Trikpe Chukyam Mi Chushin. For the length until tomorrow morning, no sexual activity of any kind. Okay? Jungi Chikyam Mima. What's wrong with sexual activity, right? In one way, it's one of the greatest pleasures in this realm, right? And all the pleasures in this realm, the good feeling you get from the good things in this realm, like a Michael and Zoe's milkshake, is a metaphor for what you can have later. I mean, it gives you, when they describe Buddha paradises, they don't say, oh, everybody is sitting there refusing Michael and Zoe's milkshakes, you know, and they have this spiritual inner strength and renunciation, and when they see a Michael and Zoe's milkshake, they don't enjoy it at all. You know, it's not that. Obviously, you know, they're always describing Buddha paradise as joyful, ecstasy, bliss, happy, you know. The point is that the good things in this world, you know, a child's face, Michael and Zoe's milkshake, sexual activity, they are beautiful, and they are blissful, and they have good things about them. The point is that they end, and you get old, and you die. So it's not like you're trying to refuse all the good things of this world. It's that you're trying to enhance them and make them better and make them go further. That kind of activity in this realm, at a certain level, it harms your body, and it's very much a basis for strong emotions, negative emotions on many people's part. And so for this day, I will concentrate on higher pleasures. The Sakyapandita said, Dewa chunga chapaye, dewa chambu tomisi. If you're focused on short-term little pleasures, you'll never get the big ones, okay? And so for one day, you decide not to focus on the little pleasures that you enjoy while you're dying, but you concentrate on the higher pleasures. The little pleasures are great. They're wonderful. Who can deny it? You know, in your heart, you want them to go on, and you want them better than they are now. And you will get them, and they will be like that. And I think it's foolish to say that those things are not somehow attractive and wonderful. And the whole point is that your heart tells you that you could reach a point where they could always be like that, and where you and your friend wouldn't be getting old and dying and being jealous of each other and angry and possessive and things like that. You know, the idea is to take those pleasures and make them pure. So for one day you abstain, and you think about making it a higher pleasure, okay, like that. Michuchin, zungi tsikya mimao, I won't lie to another person today at all, okay. This specifically refers to lying about your spiritual life, okay. You're not going to claim that you saw emptiness to somebody openly if you didn't see it, but you might be doing your book and not admit the real things, and you might choose something that's not so serious because you just don't want to admit the ones that are really serious, okay? And now, for today, put the real thing, okay? Kyuni mambo nyerten be changni yonsu pangwacha. Today I'll give up the use of all intoxicants or drugs, okay? Scripture clearly says drugs which are made from alcohol and drugs which are made by man, like cocaine or things like that. Is coffee a drug? Is tea a drug? I suppose on some small level. His Holiness and Ken Rinpoche drink tea a lot and coffee, and it's probably okay. So I don't think you have to worry about that. But specifically in Scripture, alcohol and drugs. Why? They lower your sensitivity to the things we talked about. They lower your inhibitions, but at the same time they lower your awareness, and you're not able to concentrate on whose pencil this is, and you're not able to concentrate on things like that, and you start to lose it, and it's expensive and it has no other benefit. So not today, okay? Chitan cheto michashin. This is a vow where you can't use and you can't sit on a chair which is higher than one true, okay? For me, it's a foot and a half. Your truth may be longer or shorter, I don't know. But, and then I know Westerners who obsess on it, you know, like they sit down in a chair and they leap up, and this is keeping morality, you know? you know, and I never felt good to me. It felt like, you know, what's the point? The point is luxurious things, okay? I mean, I think it would be a Lexus or a fancy suit or something like that, okay? And it doesn't include, and Tijan Rinpoche, who wrote this particular ritual, in the back he says, you know, come on, if it's necessary for your livelihood to dress up in a suit, then you do, and you don't break the vow. You don't have to go grubby to work because you took your Mahayana precepts this morning, if that is the standard costume for your profession. You know what I mean? That's okay. And if your job requires that you wear some nice earrings to a meeting with your client, then that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, being attached to your appearance and to your clothing from your own side, and not because you're trying to, you have to do that in conjunction with your livelihood. Okay, so it means be very sensitive today to the holy concept of not owning anything, okay? The sacred concept of not having anything that you own, okay? It's liberating. It's wonderful, you know? I don't have any money. I don't own anything. I don't have any place that I own. I don't own anything, you know? I'm at the mercy of mankind, and I'm free. You know what I mean? And that doesn't mean grubbing off of other people, okay? All right? A Buddhist is required to have a honest, sufficient, as far as you can try to do it, livelihood. And it's not a Buddhist practice to impose on other people and grub off of other people, and that's not what it means to be free of possessions, you know? That's a kind of immorality. If you think about it, you are stealing resources from other people who, and I'm assuming people who don't want to give it to you, okay? I mean, it's okay to stay in someone's living room for about 3 weeks, and then, okay? But when it becomes a hardship for them, you're stealing from them. You see what I mean? And so not owning things doesn't mean that. You see what I mean? It's your responsibility to have a decent livelihood that's honest and doesn't hurt other beings, and that allows you to do your practice in a comfortable, safe environment. We have a monk's vow against taking our food that we've begged and going in the forest, Central Park, where we might get mugged and eating it there. There's a vow against that. You see what I mean? Your responsibility is to have a livelihood that gives you a safe, clean, healthy place to practice and take care of your body and not impose on other people. And then on the other hand, don't own anything. You know, be free of possessions and don't own other people. And that's a kind of liberation, and your mind will be much clearer and you'll be able to get there much faster. Okay, so it's a balance, like all things. Okay, so it's not jumping off a chair that's higher than that. Okay, it's the whole concept of not owning anything. All right, and not possessing other people and other things. Okay, Deshin Dumayimbe Se. Dumayimbe Se means untimely grub, and that means in this case we can't eat after noon. Okay, I was in Sri Lanka. I took the vows in the morning. This is a Hinayana version, and I was with some government officials, and we went to a special government house, and there was a caretaker there, and he said, "Oh, you're a monk." I said, "Yeah." He says, "And you took vows this morning, right?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "Don't worry, I know what to do," and he ran and got two huge baskets of avocados and peaches and other things, and he got a mixer. You're not allowed to have solid food, okay? So he got a mixer and he mixed it up to just barely a paste, you know. and then he filled like four huge bowls in it, and he said, "Here, eat this," you know. And I didn't quite know what to do, you know. The point is, no heavy food, no solid food after. After lunch. And there's all these debates. Can you have pure juice or not? Do you have to cut it with water? By the way, I mean, traditionally, you can't have milk, okay, pure milk only, okay? I don't know, milkshake I think is okay. they usually don't have too much milk in it. But it's, I mean, again, try to get the meaning of the vow. Don't become anal about your vows, okay? I mean, try to get to the meaning of the vow. The meaning of the vow is that you feel hungry in the evening and you start thinking about it, and it clears out your mind, it clears out your body. Fasting is very good from that point of view. And your mind gets more clear, and you start to feel hungry, and you can think, well, I'm doing this for other people, okay? We don't believe in Buddhism in flagellation, or we don't believe in harming your body for the sake of others. Okay, that's considered a very wrong view in Buddhism. You have to, for the sake of others, you have to keep your body healthy and fit and happy, so you can practice well. But as you get hungry in the evening, then you can dedicate that small pain to other people, and you can think about other people, and you can think about removing the hunger of the world and things like that. And also, it's very clear for your mind. People who reach a certain spiritual level don't have to eat much anymore. They don't have to sleep much anymore. And then we're sort of emulating them, okay? Their concentration and their morality sustains their body, and they don't need those other things so much. Then you have American Buddhists who, without the level of concentration and morality, try not to eat anything and feel miserable and get skinny and... That's not the point, right? If you want to practice those practices, make your life pure, keep your book well, meditate properly, and then there'll come a day automatically when you don't need to eat or sleep much, and do it that way. Don't do it the other way, you see? Don't like say, "I'm not going to eat or sleep for 3 days because I want to be a yogi," you know, and you'll just get sick, and you'll bother other people, okay? All right? Let it come naturally from your practice, and it will come. Buddhas don't have to eat. They don't have to sleep. And slowly, as your body changes, that'll happen also. Okay. Chidan tenwa gendani kardan luso pawancha. Don't wear colognes or perfumes. That's a kind of luxury. It's a kind of being fancy. You know, Buddha should be clean and neat as much as possible. But then don't go beyond that to put on sense and makeup and things like that, okay? If it's necessary in conjunction with your livelihood, even on a Taekchen Sojong day, you're absolutely allowed to do it, okay? If it would look bad in the board meeting if you had BO, then you're absolutely allowed to do it. It's part of your work costume, okay? Gendani, also all kinds of ornamentation on your body. Kardan luso pawaja means no dancing or singing or playing music during this day. Okay. And Tijan Rinpoche is careful to say except for sacred music and except for sacred dance. Now what's sacred is a big debate, right? I have students who say, well, most of my students say any music they want to listen to is sacred, you know? But, you know, and I don't disagree with that, actually, to a certain extent. I don't think that there's something special about organs or about dumarus, which is more sacred than saxophone. You know, I don't think so. I don't see why that would be logically true. But no kind of singing, dancing, playing music frivolously and without great holy, sacred purpose. And you know the difference, okay? And I believe that you can play rock and roll. You know, I believe Hendrix can be sacred if you do it under the right circumstances. But don't kid yourself. You know, no, I'm not kidding. Why should it be less sacred than organ, than Bach? You know, I don't know. But don't kid yourself, okay? Examine your motivation for playing that music or dancing that dance. And if it's right, it's fantastic on Sojong Day. No problem, okay? And Trijang Rinpoche says that. Okay. Jita dachon tatuni sochu laso miche tar deshin sochu laso pang. So I'll try to emanate those holy beings of the past who have kept these vows, and I'll give up these things also, okay? Name chanju nyo top shot. And so I may I therefore attain Buddhahood quickly. Dunga mongtuk jikten dir sipe tole dor shok. And may I get myself and others across the ocean of suffering. Okay. Okay, chicken gesture again. This is just one time. Okay. Okay, please repeat after me. Tengne sokchu, mi cha shing, shengi noyang, lang mi cha, chikpe chikyang, mi chu ching, zungi chikyang, mi ma o, kyuni mambo, nye tempe, changni, nyonsu pawa cha, chiten cheto, mi cha shing, teshin tu, mayimbe se, Chidan Tewa, Gendan Ni, Kardan Luso, Power Cha, Chidar Dachong, Taktu Ni, Sokchu Laso, Michetar, Teshin Sokchu, Laso Pang, Lame Changju, Nyur Top Shok, Dungyam Mangchu, Jikden Dir, Sipe Chole, Dowar Shok. Okay. Get a little comfortable now. We do a mantra of morality, and we do it 21 times. And while you do it, think about the day and think about keeping those vows, okay? Don't let your mind wander during the mantra, okay? I'll say each part, and then you repeat after me, and after a while you'll get used to it, okay? Om Amoga, Shila, Sambara, Barabara, Mahashuda, Sadhu, Bhema Bindakiti, Bhutta Dharadhara, Samanta, Avalokite, Humbe Soha. Om Amoga, Shila, Sambara, Barabara, Mahashuda Sadhu, Bhema Bindakiti, Bhutta Dharadhara, samanta avalokite humpe soha amamoga shila sambana parabana mahashudasada pema bindakiti buddha daradana samanta avalokite humpe soha amamoga shila sambana parabana mahashudasada pema bindakiti buddha daradana samanta avalokite humpe soha amamoga shila sambhara parabara mahashuddha sadhu pema bindakiti buddha daradana samanta avalokite humpe soha amamoga shila sambhara parabara mahashuddha sadhu pema bindakiti buddha daradana samanta avalokite humpe soha amamoga shila sambhara parabara mahashuddha sadhu pema bindakiti buddha daradana samanta avalokite humpe soha amamoga shila sambhara parabara mahashuddha sadhu pema bindakiti buddha daradana samanta avalokite humpe soha amamoga shila sambhara parabara mahashuddha sadhu pema bindakiti buddha daradana samanta avalokite humpe soha amamoga shila sambhara parabara mahashuddha sadhu pema bindakiti buddha daradana samanta avalokite humpe soha amamoga kashila sambhara parabara mahashuddha sadhu pema bindakiti buddha daradana samanta avalokite humpe soha amamoga shila sambhara parabara mahashuddha sadhu pema bindakiti buddha daradana samanta avalokite humpe soha amamoga shila sambhara parabara mahashuddha sadhu pema bindakiti buddha daradana samanta avalokite humpe soha amamoga shila sambhara parabara mahashuddha sadhu pema bindakiti buddha daradana samanta avalokite humpe soha amamoga shila sambhara parabara mahashuddha sadhu pema bindakiti buddha daradana samanta avalokite humpe soha amamoga shila sambhara parabara mahashuddha sadhu pema bindakiti buddha daradana samanta avalokite humpe soha amamoga shila sambhara parabara mahashuddha sadhu pema bindakiti buddha daradana samanta avalokite humpe soha amamoga shila sambhara parabara mahashuddha sadhu pema bindakiti buddha daradana samanta avalokite humpe soha amamoga shila sambhara parabara mahashuddha sadhu pema bindakiti buddha daradana samanta avalokite humpe soha amamoga shila sambhara parabara mahashuddha sadhu pema bindakiti buddha daradana samanta avalokite humpe soha amamoga shila sambhara parabara mahashuddha sadhu pema bindakiti buddha daradana samanta avalokite humpe soha. Okay. There's a final verse that we do, a verse in honor of morality. Okay. Please repeat. Chimgi Tsutin. Gyunmei Ching. Tsutin number. Datan De. Lomsen Mebe. Tsutim Ki. Tsutim Paro. Chinzo Shok. Okay. Chimgi Tsutin Gyunmei Ching. May my morality be pure and without fault. Tsutin number Datan Den. May it be absolutely clean. Lomsen Mebe Tsutim Ki. May my morality not be stained by some kind of... Lomsen means... Lom means to have delusions of grandeur, okay? And, like, bother other people with your morality, okay? All right? You gotta be careful about that. There's a word in English called officious, meaning, you know, you can't sit on the chair like that. It's 2 inches too high, you know, and you're just bothering other people with your morality, you know what I mean? And should be personal, quiet, something you do for yourself, for other beings, you know what I mean? And not be another kind of way of irritating the people around you, okay? Lomsen mebe tsutim ki, tsutim paro chinzo sho. May I perfect my morality, okay? Down to the pencils and the bags on the floor, okay? One last thing here. He goes into a short explanation of the vows. And I think that the thing I'll just go over quickly is the difference between this vow. This is called Taekchen Sojong. Taekchen means Mahayana. They call it one-day vow, but the real word is Sojong. Sojong means to fix your mistakes in the past. The Jong means to purify your life and your mind. Okay, and life-fixing purification Mahayana vows. Okay, something like that. One-day Mahayana vows. Okay, and he discusses the difference between these, and there is a set of Pratimoksha vows, one-day Pratimoksha vows, Nyene vows, and we'll just he points out some differences, and by doing so, he gives you some other details of the vows that you're expected to keep today. Okay. Lembe yominda, dengi kepa minda, sampe kepa minda, jira lembe choga minda, langne sungso minda, ta debu dupsu minda we kepa, duma yedo. These are the differences between these vows and the Hinayana version of these vows. Okay, what are the differences? And by the way, I'm not putting down Buddhism as practiced in Sri Lanka or Thailand or other so-called Hinayana countries. I have met many, many monks and teachers from those countries who are absolutely bodhisattvas, and I've met many Tibetan Buddhists who seem to be have a very selfish attitude. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. We're talking about Hinayana as an attitude in any country, and we're talking about Mahayana as an attitude in any country. Okay, not, and you'll find both attitudes, seems like, in every religion and every country. Okay, here are the differences. Nambi yogi mingawani inini gidenye nyenche sotadamini teaching is shingoshin inini gidenye. The difference in the person you take the vows from. If you take the Hinayana version, you have to take it from somebody who at least has lifetimes layman's vows. In order to take a one-day vow in Hinayana, you have to take it from, in the Pratimoksha system, you have to take it from a person who has taken those vows, at least the vows of a lifetime layman. The Mahayana vow can be taken from anyone who holds it already, and you can also take it by yourself in front of a Buddha image. Okay, so that's a difference in the two vows. That's one difference. You can even give this vow to yourself by at home in front of a Buddha image. Okay, by imagining that the Buddha is there. Okay. Tengi kepa mendawani nyani kinto mani gesa tangke no nam taki nendo minu wate. Difference in who can take the vows. A Hinayana vow cannot be taken by a person with a higher Pratimoksha vow. So a full monk or a novice or a nun or a novice nun or a student nun, we can't take a one-day Hinayana vow because it's a lower vow. Okay? And give us some to and it would actually push the higher vow out of your mental continuum. So we're not allowed to do that. Okay. But anybody can take Mahayana one-day vows. And he says, wonderful if monks and nuns take them. Okay. There's a bathroom there if you need some water. Okay. If you need. A pratimoksha vow is taken. The main reason to become a monk or a nun is that you are tired of this suffering and you want to remove your own negative emotions. That's the motivation for taking robes. The motivation for taking this vow is what we spoke about before. You want to reach total enlightenment so that you can be of serious benefit to other people. Okay? And that's a difference in the motivation. The way in which you take the vow is when you take a Hinayana vow, it's you take refuge first and then you go ahead and take the vow. When you take a Mahayana vow, one-day vow, you are pledging to emulate holy beings who have come before. And there's a difference in the attitude while you're taking the vow and like that. It's not so much, you do take refuge, but that's not all. The main flavor of the vow is that you're trying to emulate holy beings who came before. Lang ne sun sum indani, how do you keep them is different. Nyene la shang yepa pang gopa shepa me. He says, you don't see any explanation in the Hinayana one-day vows that you are definitely committing not to eat meat during that day, but when you take this Mahayana vow, you must give up eating meat for today. Okay, so you must finish your meal. You can only have one meal today. All right, have a noontime meal. There's a debate about whether you have to start by noon, which means you could eat the rest of the day, I guess, or whether you have to finish by noon. I think it's. As far as I understand it, the intent is to eat once around noon, and don't get anal about it. It's 12:01 at night, and you're halfway through a row, do it joyfully, happily. You should finish before noon. It's good if you can finish before noon. Okay, it's a kind of mindfulness to finish before noon. Okay. And then finally, the result that you get. Technically, in the pratimoksha system, in the system of monks and vows and monks and nuns, your goal is to reach your own personal nirvana, your own personal destruction of your own suffering. And the goal here is to reach a full Buddha paradise so that you can show other people how to do it. Okay, so we won't have breakfast, but you can have tea, juice, water, watery milk products. Okay, but shouldn't be any hard food. Have one nice meal before noon, and then stop. And then, as you start to get hungry in the evening, think about why you did it and what you're trying to achieve with it. And then, as you start to hum your favorite tunes, I do it constantly, and I'm like, oop, and it's try to stay aware. The point is to try to stay aware of your morality, on a very detailed level today. And then tomorrow you can go back to normal, okay? So for one day, try to concentrate on being sensitive. This is owned by somebody else. Maybe I won't hurt it, this creature is trying to get across the floor. I'll help him out the door, and I'm going to try to keep mindful so I won't blab a lot, joke a lot, sing songs, play the radio to distract myself. I'll try to concentrate on something, and try to fix my mind on what I'm doing. And that's the whole mood of the day. Should be joyful, okay? I mean, sometimes I take Taichin Sojung with a group and it feels like a funeral that day or something, you know? I mean, it's like cool, you know? And it's going to purify your mind and your world will start to change. And this is just a little warm-up, you know, like that. So just be happy about it. You know, don't be grumpy that you're not going to get any dinner or something like that. You know? Okay. All right, you ready? We'll do...
This is the end of session 7.